Al.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Good, good.
I guess you know that everybody has, millions of your fans have one big collective sigh of relief now that the 14th studio album is finally out.
I'm sure happy about it.
And you've been busy, I guess, getting all this stuff together because there's a lot of stuff for everybody to take in. This release date is finally here.
Yeah, I mean, I've been working on this for a couple of years and doing all the videos. I mean, there was a lot of work involved in putting, you know, making 8 videos and doing all these songs. And it's only in the last month that people even were aware that I was doing this album. So, you know, I've been excited for a long time, and everybody else a relatively short period.
Well, let's go back about a year. I got a chance to talk to you on June 25th last year, just right before you released My New Teacher and Me. And that was right before you appeared in Evansville on July 27th. And that was my third time seeing you perform live and in concert. And I brought with me a guest and her two daughters, Chrissy, who was 14 at the time, and Destiny, who were 7. They thought you were absolutely the greatest thing they ever saw in their entire lives.
That's so great to hear. Thank you so much.
I guess the cycle keeps turning, and you keep bringing in new fans all the time, and now you've got a brand new album that's got some great hits that you've parodied to keep the old folks and the young folks coming right along with your music.
Well, I try to bridge the generation gap. I mean, if you went to the show, you probably saw that there were, you know, every generation of a fan out there, and looks like they're all enjoying it on a slightly different level, perhaps. But, you know, it's a sort of a family bonding thing.
It certainly is. And you've covered some great tunes that have come out recently. You've got Pharrell Williams' Happy, Robin Thicke's Blurred Lines, that's a funny one, Iggy Azalea, Imagine Dragons, and the list goes on and on. And these are going to be some of the songs that some of the, I guess, the younger folk is absolutely going to go nuts for.
Well, I hope so. Anybody that is tuned into pop music, hopefully that'll strike a responsive chord. And what's nice about it is hopefully the songs are funny even if you don't know what the parodies are based on.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I have to say, one of my favorite songs on this album is the sports song.
Oh, thank you.
I work with the Evansville Icemen minor league pro hockey team in Evansville, Indiana, and we have a group called the Maniacs. All of our fans are called the Icemen Maniacs. And part of our lore at the arena during the games is we holler, "You suck a lot." So you have the sports song, which in the lyrics you have, "We're great and you suck." Do you know how big this song is going to be in Evansville, Indiana?
Well, that was the whole reason I wrote it. I'm hoping that you'll take that on as your new theme song.
I am working on it even as we speak, believe me.
Yay!
I was listening to Mission Statement, which is a cover of in the song style of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And there for a while, I forgot I was listening to a parody. That was a great classic rock song that you've got.
Thanks so much. You know, it's kind of a funny story. About a year ago, I ran into to Graham Nash. I'd met him a few times before, but he was doing a radio tour, sort of like I'm doing right now. And he was in the next room, and I walked over to say hi to him. And the first thing out of his mouth before he says hello is, "When are you going to do a parody of Sweet Judy Blue Eyes?" And I smiled and I said, "Well, funny you should mention that." And I pulled my iPhone out of my pocket and I played him the song. And he was like, "Oh." So, yeah, careful what you wish for, but he loved it.
And, of course, you do the polka medley, and I really love in there the Jerry Lewis reference you threw in just for good measure.
That was just for you as well.
Thank you very much.
They're rather obscure references, yeah.
We talked about the 8 videos. Yesterday on Monday, you premiered Tacky, and then today you're premiering Word Crimes. Can you tell us what the other 6 are? Just we have to tune in every day and see which ones were coming along.
Oh, I wish I could tell you. You know, I kind of like the secrecy involved in this because it keeps people guessing and wondering what's going to be the next one. So I think that kind of keeps the excitement going. So as much as I'd love to tell you, I'm going to keep it a secret for now.
Ah, darn. I thought we was going to have an exclusive here. And tell me real quickly, I didn't get a chance to ask you about this last time, but as many times as I've, all the albums, the times I've seen you live in person, there's at least been 3 other guys on stage that shared the stage with you all these many years, Steve J., John Schwartz, Jim West. They are absolutely some great guys, and they've been with you since day one.
That's right. Well, John Schwartz has been with me since 1980, and the other guy's 82. And you didn't mention Ruben Valchera. He's not on the album, but he's our touring keyboard player, and he's been with us only for 22 years, so he's the new guy.
And can you believe you're debuting this album today? And in just a couple of days from now, you're getting ready to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the release of UHF. Can you believe it's been that long now?
It seems like 24 and a half years ago. It doesn't seem like 25, I got to tell you. It's a big thing. I mean, I'm very happy that even though UHF didn't score very well at the box office, it's gone on to be a bit of a, you know, cult favorite and a beloved movie among the fans. So I'm glad that it wound up finding its audience after all these years.
And I didn't know this till I was doing a little research, that title varied from country to country, per se. In Australia, New Zealand, it was the Vidiot from UHF.
Yeah, the Vidiot from UHF, which, that was kind of a pet peeve of mine, because they said, well, you know, UHF doesn't really mean anything in other countries. It barely means something in the U.S., so we don't want to call it UHF. And I said, well, why don't you call it the Vidiot? And they said, yeah, good idea. You know what? We're going to call it the Vidiot from UHF. Like, why would you do that? Because you just told me that UHF doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah, but we want to tie it into to the U.S. release. It's like, that's just stupid on so many levels, I can't even count them. But that's what they did.
You just wrapped up a tour. It's like a four-year-long tour for the Alpocalypse tour. Are we starting to talk about a tour for this album yet, or is that still in the works?
Well, we're starting to talk about it. It's not going to happen until next year, but I guarantee next year the mandatory tour will happen, because it's mandatory. Yeah, so no confirmed dates yet, but when they happen, they will be on WeirdAl.com, and it's going to be a pretty major tour. We're going to be out for most of the spring and summer, I think, and just blow it out.
Sounds good. Do you still go back and look at the 80s videos from the early days of MTV and thought, how do we get through that?
You know, you kind of have to let things live in their own era. I mean, they have a certain nostalgia to them, a certain charm to them. And if you look back, I mean, my first album was just, you know, you look back now and it's badly produced and it's just my singing's awful. And, you know, I have to resist my George Lucas-like impulse to just re-record everything that I did in 1982 and 1983. But you just have to kind of let it be what it is. I mean, My Bologna was recorded in a bathroom. And,
still awesome.
You know, Another One Rides the Bus was done live in the Demento Show with my drummer banging on my accordion case. It was a one-take air check of that performance. But I don't want to re-record that because, there was a little spark of magic there. There was just something interesting that happened in that live moment that you could not recapture if you were to re-record it in a digital recording studio.
And one other quick question as we wrap up. You've had so many hits on the Dr. Demento Show, and we talked about the Dr. Demento Show last time we spoke. Other than Weird Al tunes, all the tunes that have been on Dr. Demento, my favorite that's not a Al tune is Camille West, Viagra in the Waters. Do you have a tune that's not a Weird Al tune that's your favorite that you heard on the Dr. Demento Show all these years?
Oh, God, I've got so many favorites. You know, it used to be a more obscure song, but it's been used so much on Family Guy and other places that people are familiar with it now. But Surfin' Bird by the Trashmen was one of my all-time favorite songs. And I particularly liked when Dr. Demento played it, because when he played it in the middle section, he would throw the turntable out of gear and turn the record with his finger, and it'd be and that for some reason that always cracked me up when he did that.
They'll have a stack full of old CDs that we used to play every Sunday night, so I'll have to go try to find that. Al, thank you very much, and continued success. I love this album. I hope everybody else does too, and I can't wait to see you next year if you are touring this way.
Well, thank you so much. Appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, Al.
My pleasure. Take care.